This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence, your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at RealLauro5. Backspin Golf is brought to you by French Lick Resort and Casino, Men O' War Golf, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Clark's Pump and Shop, and Dan Cummins of Paris and Georgetown. Now let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf. It went
smack down the fairway. Good morning. I've been told by certain people that I need to man up. Good morning. It's Backspin Golf here on... Is that better, Sean? Do you think? Sounds better. Sean says, yeah. On ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5. We have some actual news to talk about, I think. And as every week, who better to talk about it with than my bruh? That's B-R-U-H. My bruh, my partner, Perry French, Perry French. Good morning, Perry French, Perry French.
Good morning to you, sir.
That's good. There you go. Boy, we sound wide awake and ready, don't we?
Yes.
Both of us?
Yes.
Before
golf on the horizon, live televised golf.
Yes, we do. But before we do that, the last two shows, every time I've hung up with you, both times, I've turned to Sean and gone, I can't believe I forgot again. So right off the top, good morning, Chris Mascaro, right?
Yes, indeed. Good morning, Chris Mascaro.
Thank you.
Yep, that's good.
Next on the tee, go to podbean.com. Check it out. It's one of the best podcasts anywhere, as voted on in that contest about podcasts. I've seen the list. He's actually, Perry, this is pretty funny. There were 50 of them, I believe. Next on the tee was number 28, and the first 27 podcasts were all true crime, murder, all of them, everyone related to that. And then number 28 was next on the tee. So it's pretty, I would say it's pretty good. It's the first sports-related one on there.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I guess the new ones are coming out again. Maybe next week, I think there's some. So he's...
Could be.
I listened to his show as well, and he's got some great guests. And,
yeah, including you many times.
Well, I'm very, very glad that I get a chance to be on the show and contribute, and it's fun, and it's good stuff. And he's got some really good guests.
Yeah, he does.
All across the sporting landscape, too.
Yep.
So I'll have to catch his football podcast
season. Thursday night tailgate when that comes back.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Now, you mentioned we actually have some live golf, like happening at the same time we're watching it. Could that be?
Right. This is going to be, as it happens, coming up, obviously Monday, a week from today, is going to be the Sunday, the first match of these two televised events, and Rory and Dustin taking on Ricky Fowler and Matthew Wolff. So that's going to be very interesting to see how that one folds up.
Yeah, all right. Let's talk about that for a minute.
I believe the cool thing, too, this one is, they're playing at Seminole Golf Club in Florida.
Correct.
And that's a golf course, a lot of history from just its lore. And for people to get a chance to see Seminole, that will be a pretty neat get for the golfing public.
We've never seen Seminole. I've never seen it, right? It's a very exclusive club down there in Florida.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's going to be really cool to have that piece of property being played on.
Yeah.
And then Tiger and Phil.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. We need to talk about this first one for a second.
Well, I thought we'd give them the lineup, the Tiger and Phil.
Oh, okay. All right. The next one. Right.
Sunday. Memorial Day weekend.
May 24th.
We're going to be looking to, have just two two back-to-back Sundays of live televised golf and the Tiger Phil rematch. This is not a rematch.
Nah.
It's a completely different event.
Yes.
Benefiting the COVID, the fund to the $3 million, I think.
$10 million.
$10 million for that. $3 million for the Rory ones.
Right.
Some neat stuff there, of course, to see Tom Brady, now the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
And Peyton Manning, who is quite, he's becoming quite the TV football personality, isn't he?
He sure is.
So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And then, of course, right around the corner will be some tour.
Hopefully.
Golf coming up in June. So that's a good sign. These things come off and we get the. Get this thing going, it'll be really good. But yeah, you want to go back to the matches? We're gonna talk about who no one's played golf. Did you catch that Rory interview where he literally told whomever he was talking to, drawing a blank?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. He said he hadn't touched a golf club in 6 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
And then you see there's all kinds of videos of tour pros who are all some of them are playing out at there by themselves. But, at worst, they have all kinds of practice stuff at their homes.
Yes.
And they've been using TrackMan and hitting balls. And Rory says, I don't care. I'm not doing it.
I don't understand. I mean, I guess that blew me. I understand that he didn't play golf. But to say he said he hadn't touched the club.
Yeah.
That means, to your point, he has not been swinging the golf club in his backyard into his practice facility on the launch monitor, on the range. I am just floored, and I guess more of these stories will come out. You know, of course, the one of the famous stories I remember growing up in the golf business was about Bruce Lipsky. And you know, the story about Bruce Lipsky was he was not a practicer. When he took 2 or 3 weeks off, he took 2 or 3 weeks off.
He used to go fishing.
He used to go love to fish.
Yeah,
and. And so the story goes is that after the end of one tournament week, that Sunday, the caddy decided that he was going to test that theory out. And he took a banana and he put it under his head cover of his driver. And when he met Bruce 3 weeks later, that banana was as black as could be. So he said he never touched the glove, but he wasn't kidding. I guess you can certainly understand with what it takes to be out on tour and travel and play. But I just was kind of floored that Rory has gone 6 weeks without touching a glove.
Yeah. Obviously, there's money involved going to these foundations and stuff, and it's great. But nobody's expecting these guys, I don't think, to go out and shoot 62. I mean, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I haven't seen. We now know what the format for Tiger Phil is going to be. I haven't really seen what the format is going to be for Rory and Dustin and Matthew either. Wolf and Ricky.
They're playing just a straight, four ball, if they're playing, just a best ball match or not. I'm sure it's in that category. Maybe it's, I don't know. We'll have to see if it's it could be a total best ball score combined.
Well,
it could be where it's like the best score for 18 holes medal play versus a match play.
Right.
Interesting to see how they play the competition. Hopefully we'll hear something about that soon.
Well, I predicted a few days ago. In a conversation with our buddy Dan Houser, that Tiger Phil, that match, I said, you know what they should do? Because we've all been talking about, the different strengths and weaknesses like of Tiger and Phil. Like, Phil hits it all over the place and his recovery shots are great. Wouldn't it be great, to see them play alternate shot where Phil hits a drive in the woods and, and I said they should play 9 holes of best ball and 9 holes of alternate shot.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what they're doing? That's right.
Well, so the match is going to be that way.
9 holes, partners, 9 holes best ball, 9 holes alternate
Tiger
shot.
Peyton. All right. Peyton.
Yeah.
I was thinking as you were making that statement, I was thinking, we watched Tiger and Phil play alternate shot and the Ryder comes.
But
we don't want to see that again.
I think their partners this time will have maybe a different effect on.
It should be a different.
That was brutal.
That will be good.
That'll be fun. All right. We got about 3 minutes left. you got a couple of more rules of golf, I think, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. So we're going to move into the newly named penalty areas.
Yes. The golf. No more hazards.
There's no more hazards. The penalty areas are what we would consider the areas that are marked with. You get yellow and red paint stakes to determine the hazard lines and boundaries. The rules that have changed are pretty significant. So when your ball has come to rest inside these penalty areas, it used to be you couldn't touch the club to any part of the internal piece of the puzzle. You couldn't put your club down. You couldn't take a practice swing. Now you can. That's a huge change. You can actually take a full practice swing, and you can touch the club before you, you know, touch the ground behind the ball as you're getting ready in a penalty area. You can also move loose impediments that are in your swing path.
Now this is huge.
It's a pretty significant change because you just have to go down there and just play the shot as you were, as it lies, right?
Yep.
Moving to the second part of that in the penalty area, the bunkers. The bunkers have a modification to the previous rule. You can move a loose impediment, a rock, a twig, a leaf. You can move that. You can touch the sand with your hand to do so. You could push your you could rest on your club in the sand if you're trying to get in and out of a bunker, right? But you cannot ground your club or take a practice swing. Okay.
Well, we've seen what happened with Patrick Reed with that. So
there's exactly so. Don't confuse the two. Bunkers are definitely different than the penalty areas, but those are some significant changes to previous rules.
Yeah.
So the last piece of the puzzle regarding bunkers is unplayable lie in a bunker. Yes, you used to be able to take an unplayable lie, but the ball used to have to remain in the bunker.
Uh-huh.
One-stroke penalty. Now you are allowed by rule to take an unplayable lie, take the ball out of the condition, keeping that point between you and the flag and go back as far as you want on the line. And you can drop the ball, and it's a two-stroke penalty. So, for example, if your second shot embeds under the lip of a bunker,
right,
and you say there's no chance for me to advance it, if I try once or twice or whatever, I could make a 10.
Mm-hmm.
You can literally take an unplayable lie, completely remove yourself out of the bunker on the line, keeping that point between you and the hole, and then you would be hitting your fifth shot.
Right.
From there to pitch it onto the green.
Right.
So a significantly different rule added to the unplayable lie scenario in bunkers. And that's for players who struggle with bunker play or have just one of those, you know, condition of a golf course design, high bunker lip.
Right.
You know, you get the bad lie. So it's to help people move along, keep play moving again. That's part of these new rules.
That's good. All these new rules for that reason are good.
Right. But so interesting enough. So don't freak out when you see your buddy over there in the swamp and he's carving up grass and stuff. The only thing you want to make sure is he's not trying to attempt to hit the golf ball, because of course that counts if you know.
Yes,
that's going to eat.
That's correct.
Ball counts.
So, just keep an eye on your partner or whoever you're playing with. That's okay. All right. Cool. Well, next Sunday when we talk, there will be live tennis.
What?
I mean golf. You know what happened just then?
Talking about?
Now hold on. Normally you're sitting in the studio with me. On our ESPN TV in the studio where I am, there's tennis being played right now. I happen to glance up at it right when I said that. So I have an excuse, Sean. Quit laughing at me. Wait, this is a tennis show, isn't it? All right. All right. Have a good week, pal.
Be good, pal.
Thanks.
Man,
see ya.
See ya.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
All right. We'll be back. This is Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Scott Michaud is going to join me from down in Georgia, and he is fantastic. We're going to talk a lot of great masters stories. We'll be back.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Man O' War Golf, the golf improvement experts.
Welcome back to Backspin Golf on this Sunday morning, day 62,400. of you know what. We don't mention it around here. But golf courses are open, so we're good in that respect. Twitter, peeps, Twitter has struck again. So many times on my show, I meet and I get friendly with and get to have conversations with people that I very much admire when I truly find out about them. And this today is no exception, because Scott Michaud is with me now from Georgia. I believe he's still in Georgia, unless he's gone somewhere that we don't know about. And as I said before, a history of just fantastic golf writing. And I'm really excited to talk to him. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Matthew. How are you doing? And I am still in Georgia.
Oh, baby. Well, it's kind of, you know, where else would you go, really? I mean, you know, except for the fact that you didn't get to cover the biggest thing that happens where you are this year.
I know.
Let's start there. I mean, we all have an idea of how it affected all of us not having the Masters, let's say for now, because it's going to happen in November. We know that. But tell us really what it was like down there. It must have been so surreal the whole week.
Well, it was. I only went into Augusta on the Monday when it was supposed to start, because I was working on a freelance piece with Todd Leonard at Golf Digest, and they wanted some on-the-ground color of what it was like in Augusta, Georgia, on the day that Masters week was supposed to start, and it was a ghost town.
Yeah,
I went early in the morning, so I would arrive there in that 7:30 to 8 o'clock window. And if you've ever been, you'll know that is probably the busiest traffic jam you'll ever get in, when people are so eager to go down Washington Road and get in that parking lot and get inside the pearly gates and see Augusta National. Most people, you know, for the first time.
Right.
And I pulled off the interstate onto Washington Road, drove the speed limit the whole way up it with no cars in front of me. It was eerie. You know, the parking lots were empty. The only house that's still left in the parking lot, the woman who lives there, who is Scott Brown, the PGA Tour golfer's grandmother, sprinklers going, and just everything around it was just, the whole place was a ghost town.
Yeah.
It was just hard, you know, hard to believe that, you know, I've spent a quarter century of my life going to that thing and being there that week, and it was strange.
It's hard to believe. It really is. You know, we had on my daily show this week, we had the same thing. Mark Story, who is a great writer for our Herald Leader here, has covered every Kentucky Derby since 1994. And he did the same thing on Derby Day. He got up, he got dressed, and drove to Louisville and pulled it. And the same exact story. I mean, not a car. There were the parking lot of Churchill Downs. You could fit, I don't know, 100,000 cars in it. And there were two. He was the second car there. I mean, the same exact thing. And obviously, two of the greatest sporting events our country has to offer. It's just so weird. Can you tell the people listening how you got to Augusta and the Chronicle and covering the Masters? And you had, I should say, this is fascinating to me. Every year, the defending champion from the year before was on the cover of the Augusta Chronicle, and you were the golf writer, and so you had to do a story about that defending champion, right?
Yes, and that was really the primary focus of my job every year, was that cover story.
Yeah.
And you know, I would start working on that thing literally in the hour after the final putt dropped, because you start making contact with that manager and all those people saying, "Listen, I need to impress upon
I only have a year.
Please don't ignore my emails and phone calls." I ended up getting to Augusta. I became the golf writer in Greensboro, North Carolina, in 1997.
For the News and Record.
For the News and Record,
yeah.
Exactly. when Helen Ross, who had been the longtime golf writer there, took a job with the PGA Tour to write for PGAtour.com. And oddly enough, nobody raised their hand, else raised their hand to take her, her beat when it came open. And I was, you know, there like the guy in Welcome Back, Kotter. Going,
like Horshack?
Horshack. And they let me do it. But they were not, they thought, you know, newspapers were always looking at ways to cut, you know, costs. And they thought, well, maybe now that Helen's not doing it, they'd save some money and not cover the Masters for the first time in the paper's pretty much history.
Yeah.
at which point I went into my sports editor's office. He wanted to know why I thought we should keep covering the Masters. And I told him, I said, well, because Tiger Woods is going to win it. It's going to be the biggest sports story in the world, and we're going to look like idiots for not covering it.
This was 97, right?
This was 1997 in January. And he said, "You really think that?" And I had just gone to Vegas that fall for a friend of mine from college's bachelor kind of party, and I had bet $20 on Tiger Woods at 20-1.
Wow!
To win the Masters, and I reached into my wallet and I pulled out the little, you know,
ticket
betting stub, and slammed it on his desk. And I said, "Yeah, I do."
This is great.
And,
it's great.
You know, considering he knew how much money I made,
he knew that was a lot.
$20 was not a frivolous bet for me to have as a prop. So he said, "Well, you better be right." And he proved me going, and I've been going ever since. And then in 2001 is when I took the job at the Chronicle. My wife had gotten a job at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, so I was looking for ways to get down to Georgia. And their columnist opening came open, and I got that job.
Wow.
And so that really was, you know, that was a blessing, because golf is my favorite thing in the world. I've covered a lot of sports, you know, from NHL and NBA and NFL and ACC and NASCAR and everything. But golf is the sport I'm most comfortable covering. And so I've been lucky enough to get to do that and do that cover story every year.
Well, that leads to the question. I know I told you I was listening to a podcast, wonderful podcast that you did with a couple of guys from Australia, and talking about this. And this just blows my mind. Tell us about your Tiger Woods experience on the driving range.
Oh, yeah. That was after he won in 2005.
Yeah.
I'd already done cover stories on Tiger in, you know,
97.
2001. No, I didn't do 97 because I was not there.
Right.
But I did the 2001 and 2002. Those were the first two that I ever did. And I all I could think of was, oh, my gosh, do I have to write this every single year? This might kill me. But he was, you know, not kind enough to give me a few years off.
Yeah.
And then in 2005... Tiger is not one to invite anybody to his home for a sit down interview like some of the other guys might.
Right.
And so we would always go try to catch him at a golf course somewhere. And I went to Torrey Pines. That was a place that was, you know, usually you'd find the most success. I'd gotten Phil there the year before after he won in 2004. So I knew my way around the place a little bit. And so I showed up on Monday afternoon after flying in from Georgia, and thought, oh, I'm just going to go straight to the golf course, pick up my credentials and all that stuff and get that out of the way. And then, you know, maybe there'll be somebody there to get an early week column to write about. And somebody told me that Charles Howell was on the back of the driving range. And at Torrey Pines, they have two sides of the driving range. They hit towards each other, basically.
Yeah.
And the back is where most of the guys like to go because you're far away from everybody. And so I thought, well, I'll walk back there and see if Charles is there. I can get a good early local Augusta guy column to start the week and have a productive day. Well, I get there, and the only guy back there is Tiger with Hank Haney.
Oh, boy.
And I'm thinking, well, this is fortuitous.
Yes.
I'm on the ground for an hour, and there he is. So I thought, well, I'll just go, you know, I'll stick around till he's done and let him know that I'm here. He knows me enough and knows who I work for, and just say, hey, I hope I can steal a couple minutes with you here and there every day this week for our Masters preview section. And so he walks off. I say that, and he goes, "Well, how about right now?"
And hello.
Sure. So I am utterly unprepared for an interview, a one-on-one interview with Tiger Woods. I expected this to be in a scrum with a whole bunch of other people meeting.
Yeah, and you get one question maybe or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I start asking questions, and, you know, a few minutes turns into 5 minutes, turns into 10, turns into 20, turns into 35 minutes. And I'm, like, not believing this is happening. I'm panicked trying to keep thinking of things to ask, you know, so I don't give you a pause where he can go, is that good?
Yeah.
And finally, after 35 minutes, I was exhausted, and I said, "Tiger, I honestly can't think of something else right now. I was not prepared for this. Thank you." And he goes, "That's great.
Wow.
Do it."
Wow.
And Hank was just sitting in the car there waiting for him, and Tiger went, got in the car, and drove off.
How cool. That is what a great memory to have.
It was my best experience with Tiger, and he's been pretty good to us.
Yeah.
You know, he always was, you know, able to give us a few minutes here and there.
Right.
But that was the first time, and it was just, you know, serendipity that he was the only one there and that Steve Williams wasn't with him.
Yeah,
that it was Hank Haney.
That would have been
it. Williams would have put an end to it pretty quickly.
But something that I found really interesting, too, in that talk you had with Tiger, and we're speaking with Scott Michaud, one of the very best golf writers that we have in the business. Did you hear how I said that's like me, too? All the golf writing I've done. I found interesting a couple of the things Tiger actually said to you about 1997, when he talked to you about Earl, his dad, and the bigotry that he faced after he won that first Masters. I thought that was pretty amazing.
It was. He was pretty candid about all that. Granted, you know, Earl was getting old and not well back in 2000. This was early 2006, actually,
when
I interviewed him, and he would die later that year.
Right.
And so he was pretty candid, you know, just talking about it, his father and his relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him about the hate mail that he used to receive early on in his career.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, it's almost 10 years. This will be your 10th Masters since then coming up. What has the hate mail kind of become less and less over the years as you've done what you've done? And he says, "Oh, I wouldn't say it's less and less. It may be a little less.
Wow.
But it's not less and less." And I asked if we could see some of it, and he said no.
Yeah. Well, that, I can't believe you even asked that.
Exactly. Well, I asked that as he was going away. I says, "Is there any chance?"
Yeah, of course.
And
yeah.
He's like, "No,
yeah.
No way.
Zero chance." Right.
But he did talk about it. He was good. He said, you know, listen, when my father was an athlete, you know, think about what he had to go through.
Right, yeah.
You know, and during his career, not being able to stay in the same hotel with teammates and not being able to do any of that stuff. He says, and look what I have right now. He said, it took a long time to get from there to here. It's going to take a long time to get from here to the to where we should be.
That's a pretty wise statement. I mean, and we still have a long way to go. We know that, but...
Exactly.
That's what a great story. We got just a couple more minutes. I want to, because I'm going to have you back on the show. I mean, I can't believe that this is the first time that we're talking to you. But you told me when we finally spoke that you actually met me in 1994. And I just think this is so weird. Seriously. And not, it's... You know, of course you remember me because I'm a huge star, and you would remember meeting me in 94. I understand, right?
I do. And it was at the Crosby Clam Bake.
In Winston-Salem.
Which was done exactly at Bermuda Run near Winston-Salem, and I was working on the desk in Winston-Salem. The sports desk at night there, and I took a job as a cart room attendant at Bermuda Run so that I could play some free golf on
smart move
holes they didn't have open that day on their 27-hole course. And so I would go in, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning and, you know, lug people's bags from the parking lot and put it on the cart and do all that stuff and pick the range and everything. And I was very excited for this celebrity event.
It was a big deal. The Crosby was as big a tournament as we all played in.
And you guys were probably among the earliest arrivers, too, you and your brother.
Oh, yeah.
And I, the people that I recognized were you and your brother and Oprah Winfrey, who was there because Stedman was playing.
Yep. That's, wow. See, Sean, me and Oprah, that's, do you see how Sean doesn't understand how important I am? And
well, you know I Eddie and the Cruisers was when I was in college.
There you go.
So, you know, you were a superstar.
Okay. All right. That's enough. Cause really people are throwing up as they're listening right now. But I often talk about the memories and the people that we met at the Crosby. And now that I know, and I know the answer to this, I didn't tip you, did I?
Actually, I think you did.
Ah, okay, good.
But Dan Quayle did not when he came.
You know, there. Just another thing to add to that. That's funny. I remember him being there. Holy cow.
I remember
doubt.
Who didn't.
That's great. All right, I'm going to get you back on here real soon because you have a lot more to share with us. And this has been so great, and I appreciate it. And stay safe and healthy, and I will talk to you real soon. Thanks a million.
Thanks, and hope we do that Masters in November.
Okay. See ya.
See ya.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.
Welcome back. Backspin Golf. A couple days ago, I had a chance to talk with our buddy Dan Houser down in Florida. It's thestiffshaft.com. And we're going to let you listen to that now. A couple of things have changed since I spoke to him, as you'll hear. We now have a date for the Tiger Phil Peyton Tomba Bay, whatever his name is, Brady. Match. It's May 24th, and they didn't have a format when I spoke to Dan, and you'll hear me in this. Correctly predict what the format is going to be. That's right. You'll hear it right here. Okay. Here's Dan Houser. All right. Now, finally, something good we can talk about. I have to decide if I'm really excited or not, but it is something good. It's for charity. And so who better to talk to than one of the most generous people I know in terms of his time that he spends on this radio station? Dan Houser from The Stiff Shaft. That's right. Greatest name of any website. Joins us now from lovely Florida. Hi, Dan Houser.
How's it going?
It's going. We're all good. It's a beautiful day here. We're all healthy.
Everybody hanging in tight up there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The tightest.
Yeah. Are we ever? Are we ever?
Everyone's still relatively sane. I use relatively, of course, because I don't know if we were all the sanest of sane under normal circumstances.
Well, it's a very
lowering
valid
the bar
point.
Now.
Yeah. It's a very valid point. I will say that I did get to play golf twice this weekend at two different courses, and I love this whole thing about everybody having their own cart. We look for silver linings in these times. That's one of them.
I know, unfortunately, when things return to normal, it's not going to make financial sense for most of these public courses to provide single rider carts like they're having to do right now. But man, if that doesn't knock off a good, I don't know, I almost want to say it probably knocks off a good hour off of a round, because all of a sudden, instead of having to drive 15 places around the course to get out to everyone's balls, you go to your ball and you hit it and you keep going. And it's such a small thing that just makes golf so much quicker.
Yeah.
You don't even really have to change the fundamentals of the game to do so. Unfortunately, it just means a lot of these courses would have to double the amount of carts they buy. Mm-hmm. And I understand that's a cost that not everyone can afford to undertake. But man, it's just something so easy.
Right. And as I always say, because I'm so good in math, all it takes is 3 minutes a hole for people screwing around, talking, telling stories. That adds, let's see, 54 minutes to a round of golf. Just 3 minutes a hole.
Yeah.
So this is, it's a big deal. I mean, I played both days.
Think about
in, you know, 2 hours and 45 minutes. It was great.
Yeah, I mean, think about, you know, when you're playing with a friend of yours, you know, if you hit it 320 one way and he hits it 270 another way, I mean, that's a lot of extra driving around. You got to go, you got to go left into the trees, and then you got to go right into the bunker where yours is. You got to cut across the course and zip-zagging around for everyone just hit one shot. Whereas the way you played, you just, you go right to your ball, you hit your shot, you get in the cart, you go right to your ball for the next shot.
Yeah, a couple things about that.
Yeah,
I don't like that you said you hit your ball in the trap. I never do that. And I don't play.
No, he's talking about friend.
Yeah, but the two guys, you know, me and somebody else, 320 and 270. I don't know who you play with, okay? I mean, really, that's just rubbing it in. That's just.
I'm not the one hitting at 320, I can promise you.
Oh, okay. All right, let's talk about first, as we all know, because he's the greatest of all time, he's the GOAT, Tiger and Phil come out, and they're going to play another one, Tiger and Phil 2. Ooh. And then they told us, which makes it much more palatable to me, they added Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. And it's not pay-per-view. It's going to be, I think, on NBC. Is that right?
TNT for that
one. Oh, TNT for that one. Okay. So tell me first, let's talk about that one. How do we feel about that one?
So that one, well, we're still waiting on some details on that one. We don't know what the format is going to be yet. We also don't know the location and or yet as well. Personally, I would like to see that be like some sort of alternate shot.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it would, not only would it be fun, because especially for a guy like Phil, who's one of the best to ever do it when it comes to recovery shots, and
yes,
recovery game and his wedges. I mean, to see him be able to work that magic around the greens when ultimately, you know, Brady misses an approach shot or something like that, that would be fun. From the standpoint of the whole reason, I know I would assume one of the main reasons that they're bringing in Brady and Manning into this is, A, it grabs the attention of non-golf fans or
non-hard
golf fans like us, who are going to watch anything they might now watch because they might be football fans that want to watch those two guys play. Also, I feel like it adds, and once again, I'm not even close to comparing somebody like us to somebody like a professional athlete,
right,
even if it is a football player, but they're closer to us in terms of their golf game than, say, Tiger and Phil are.
Yeah.
So I think, once again, another alternate shot would bring in the fact that, okay, they get to play a shot after the pros hit a near-perfect shot and vice versa. You know, maybe they're a little loose off the tee, and then we get to watch Tiger and Phil's creativity, you know, in different parts of the course that they might not normally be hitting from. When they just play a tournament on their own because they're not hitting them in, you know, different
right
places. So personally, I think I would like to see it be an alternate shot. Do I think that's going to be what it'll be? Doubtful. I'm guessing for TV purposes, they'll probably want to make it a best ball because it'll go quicker and
you right
know, it'll be less bad golf shots being hit. So we'll see what happens. But I would love to see it be some sort of alternate shot format.
How about this? How about 9 holes best ball, 9 holes alternate?
That would be great, too.
Okay, I'm going to make a couple phone calls on your behalf.
Get on the horn with some of those TNT execs.
I will, because I pretty much know all of them. I mean, a lot of my reruns are on TNT.
I mean, I can't talk to Tiger at the Starbucks these days to share my opinion, because, you know, there's
yeah, no see, yeah.
I'm not running into him these days.
I didn't even think about that. all right, and then over the weekend, I guess it was, another charity event, and we should mention that the Tiger Phil deal, a lot of this has to do with charity as well.
Yeah, so the second one was actually just announced this morning.
Oh, it was this morning
by the PGA Tour, and I don't know if maybe I might have missed something over the weekend, but I actually had no clue that this is even being floated as an idea. I mean, we knew about the Tiger Phil thing for a while before it even got close to getting more concrete details. It's almost like this one just kind of appeared out of nowhere. But what we're getting is coincidentally enough, as it's an event being put on by TaylorMade, these are all TaylorMade golfers.
Ah.
Also, coincidentally enough, as you know, everyone's kind of still abiding by the stay-at-home order, these four are all South Florida residents as well. But you're going to have Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy against Ricky Fowler and Matthew Wolf, also Ricky and Matthew Wolf, both Oklahoma State graduates.
Yep.
In a skins game, actually, it's going to be. And so how that's going to work is that United, I can't remember the exact company name.
United Health Group.
Thank you, yes. So yeah. They're putting up the $3 million for the purse for the skins. And Rory and DJ will be playing for one organization, and Ricky and Matthew Wolf will be playing for another organization, and all money that they win from those skins will be given to the charity that those teams are playing for. In addition, Farmers Insurance, who is one of Ricky's main sponsors, is kicking in an extra $1 million for some sort of birdie eagle challenge that we don't know the exact
right.
details of that, but once again, that $1 million will also be divvied up to the teams who win whatever the challenges are, charities that they're playing.
And I say, because I have it, I'm not remembering this, I have it right in front of me. Rory and DJ are playing for the American Nurses Foundation, and Ricky and Matthew Wolf are playing for the CDC Foundation, and the $1 million from Farmers for this birdies and eagle pool are going to benefit Off Their Plate, which is a charitable organization for frontline shift employees. And that's fantastic. This is going to be broadcast NBC, Golf Channel, NBCSN, and Sky Sports, and of course, digitally as well.
And the most exciting thing about that one, too, is now, granted, all four of those are tremendous golfers, but it's going to take place in Seminole. So we get to watch these guys play at Seminole, which I think that might even be the most exciting part of this, is that finally, you know, I mean, Seminole is one of the most exclusive courses in the entire country, and we're all going to be able to sit on our couches and get a first-hand look at it a year before the Walker Cup is scheduled to go there as well. So as far as NBC is concerned, you know, and the TV companies are concerned, they can kind of also use this as a dry run to see where they want to sit.
Perfect.
That
makes perfect sense, and for those people that aren't golfers, as you said, Seminole is one of the most exclusive golf clubs in America. And a lot of these guys belong there, a lot of these PGA Tour pros.
Yeah, I mean, that too, yeah.
Yeah, that too. All right.
That makes it a little bit easier, I guess, when a lot of their members, huh?
Well, the date for that is May 17th. So this is
right around the corner.
Right around the corner, and it's live, and it'll get, I'm assuming, it's even though it's four golfers and it's not the two pro football players, this will get bigger numbers than normally just a straight golf event would get, because it's live and people want to see something live. I mean,
it's a live sporting event. What else are you going to watch? I mean, the NFL draft isn't even it's an event run by a sporting organization, but it's technically not a live sport.
Right.
Look at the numbers that did.
Yeah, that's true.
People just want live new content. They want
right.
to watch something that's not on coming off of Netflix for a couple hours, and they're going to be able to get to do that on the 17th.
Now, do we haven't seen any of these guys play for a couple months now. Do Ricky and Matthew Wolf have any shot of beating Rory and DJ in this?
You know, that's a great question because so – like myself, all of these golfers live down here in South Florida, and
yep.
until a couple of days ago, these golf courses were closed, even the private ones, and I don't care if your name is Tiger Woods or what your name is, you are not getting on these golf courses. So these guys have been sitting home for 6-7 weeks, just like the rest of us, not being able to even hit a ball unless other than maybe what they have in their backyards. I know a lot of these golf
and they do
it's
right
short game, at least short game facilities in their backyard, but in terms of being able to play a full round of golf, a lot of these guys have only been able to start playing full rounds of golf a couple of days ago. So, I'm sure these four, not necessarily together, but I'm sure these four will be playing a lot of golf over the next couple of days here to kind of get their games back into kind of shape and whatnot. But just for the simple fact that everyone's kind of on the same page in terms of rust and how long they've not had the clubs picked up for, I think that kind of evens the playing field out a little bit. Because, yes, on paper, DJ and Rory should absolutely just wipe the floor with with Ricky and Matthew Wolf, but once again, nobody's picked up a club for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
In terms of a full round of golf.
Yeah.
They're all at the same boat here. So, you know, when you have something like that, it might make things a little more intriguing.
Well, I know how it's affected me just by the way I played this past weekend. not being able to play as much as I usually do. There's a lot of, as a friend of mine says, his golf game has atrophied.
Yes. I still haven't even picked up my clubs yet, so I can only imagine where mine's going to be at. I'm almost scared at this point. It's been so long.
Nah, it'll be fun. Just be careful. Take a single cart.
Absolutely.
Don't get within any kind of distance of.
Make sure you stretch too.
Oh yeah, Jimmy says to stretch. Yeah, it's
of course.
Which I do every time I play. Not
of course.
The truth.
The good thing down here is they've been doing 15-minute intervals between tee times to give everyone plenty of time to be far away from each other. Because if you're playing the way you should be, 15 minutes apart, there should not be any buildup on holes. Everyone should be at least one hole apart because of the way they're sending people off right now.
So they're
doing it the right way. They're making sure that the golf courses are making sure that they do what they need to on their end, at least, to police people. And then obviously it's up to them on the course to make sure that they're also following the rules while they're out there as well.
Yeah, they're doing that here too. All right, thanks for jumping on. As always, you're a great one. And I don't know, maybe I'll take a road trip sometime soon. or maybe you'll take a road trip up here, one or the other.
There you go.
All right.
One of these days when it's safe to be out and about again, I can't wait to get up there and check out some of those courses.
Cool. Thanks, man. Okay, see ya. Next Sunday for another edition of Backspin Golf. Of course, thanks to our partners, the best, Man of War Golf, French Lick Resort, Lexington Parks and Rec, of course, Edwin Watts, Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown, Clark's Pump and Shop, and a new partner, Commonwealth Credit Union. That place is awesome. We'll be talking more about them in the future. Thanks to all. Have a good week. Stay safe. We'll talk to you next week. This is ESPN Sports Radio, 1300 and 92.5.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play Golf Lexington.